All right, we're teaching on the subject of training for reigning, and we're talking about taking ownership. All right, let's read. I want to read again out of Romans chapter 4 and verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end a promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of who? Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, what I said here in verse 13 is that the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed, to the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now, I want you to keep something right there. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3. And in Galatians chapter 3, it says in verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. How? Through faith. Verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is who? Christ. Now, notice what he says here. He's saying Christ redeemed us from the curse. So there's a curse out in the earth. As a result of Adam's transgression, a curse is over the earth. Now, what I ask you to do is envision a curse being like rain, and it's raining over the earth. But God gave you an umbrella. So even though it's raining, it's not raining on you. What I'm saying is that Christ didn't come to take the curse off the earth. He came to redeem you from the curse that's on you. Are you following what I'm saying? So it's key for you to know that, because outside of that umbrella, folks are getting wet. But the wet won't touch you. Are you following what I'm saying? When the flood came in the earth, Noah was given instructions of how to make an ark. He got his family in the ark, and now the flood came and covered the whole earth. So no flesh, no living thing existed. The flood covered everything. Everything was swallowed up, except Noah and his family, because they were in the what? Ark. Now, think about it. The higher the flood waters rose, the higher Noah rose. So the higher and worse things get in the earth, the higher the church is supposed to rise. Are you following what I'm saying? God is using these times to distinguish you. Amen. So now the curse, we've been redeemed from the curse, and that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Then he says, verse 16, he says, now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He said, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, unto thy seed, which is Christ. See? One. He's talking to Abraham and his seed. So not just to Abraham, but Abraham and his seed. So whatever he's promising here, he's promising to Abraham and his seed. Then it says over here in verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, there is neither black nor white. I'm just letting you know there's no division here. For we are all one where? In Christ. So we are in Christ. Well, who was the promise for? Abraham and his seed. And his seed was who? Christ. Where are we? In Christ. Verse 29. And if you belong or be in Christ, then are you whose seed? Abraham's seed. And what do you get? You're heirs according to the same promise. Now, what did he promise Abraham? He promised him the whole world. So Jesus came to get the world back into the hands of its rightful ownership. Say amen to that. And we are the rightful owners of God. Look, let me look at one more scripture. People have read these scriptures, but they haven't moved on it. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians, if you will, and chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me know when you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's just a few doors over. Praise God. You can. Well, look on the board. Put it up on the board. Hallelujah. Look at verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all what things, come on, are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos, whether Cephas, the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are whose? Yours. And if you and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Psalm 115. Come on over there with me. Psalm 115. Now, the only thing I'm trying to get you to do first is see that it belongs to you. You see, if you don't know it belongs to you, then you are not irate when somebody takes it. You got to know that that fur coat that that man just walked out with belongs to your wife. You follow what I'm saying? Man, you're not as excited about a rental car as you are about your car. Okay? That's why you don't put the right gas in there. You're just not excited about it. And now I'm sure that's not anybody here. Okay, look what it says in Psalm 115. Let me know when you get there now. Verse 16, the heaven, even the heavens are whose? The Lord's. But the earth has he given to who? The children of men. It's given to you. It's given to you. See? And the enemy has always been trying to talk you out of something that all you already have. That's what he came to Eve. He said, Eve, he said, now, did God really say? He said, God knows the day you eat of this, you're going to be like God. Well, hey, she was already like God. The deal is she was born innocent, and she had to mature. And that's the way you're born. You're a baby Christian first. That's why all that crying goes on. And then as we get this word, the way you mature is you have to feed on the word. The Bible said in 1 Peter, desire the sincere milk of the word of God that you may grow thereby. But once you start growing, you transition from milk to meat. And then from meat to strong meat. Now, this is yours. It's right out here. Now, that doesn't mean you say, my name is Jimmy, I'll take all you give me. What it means is that you have to receive it one way. How do you receive it? You've got to get it by faith. What kind of faith? The God kind of faith, the same faith that Abraham used. Let's look at it. Turn back to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, let me know when you get there. Verse 17, as it is written, I made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. So the first thing about Abraham type of faith is Abraham had to call what? Things that what? Be not, come on, as though they were. All right? And look what it says in verse 18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now, all this means is this. Faith is a substance of things what? Hope for. So, this idea about hope is something that you must have to activate this kind of faith. See, hope is a goal setter. In other words, if I want it warmer in this room, I'll tell the guys and they'll go in and there's a thermostat. Now, this is a little job that's on the wall. So they will adjust the thermostat up or down. Now, what happens is the thermostat sends a signal to the huge units. And those units happen to be up on the roof, I think. And so what they do is the units kick in. Now, the units kick in and then bring heat or cold, whatever it is, into the room, into the place where pretty soon it affects that little gadget called a thermostat. And that thermostat then gets affected because when it comes up to the desired setting, it shuts off. Well, that's the same thing about your faith. Your mind sets a goal, or your thinking sets a goal. You can hope for something. When you come to a meeting, you hope to be healed or whatever have you. So faith needs hope for it to function. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. Without hope, it has no structure. And so now in this, when he didn't have any hope, he went and got some hope. In other words, the physician may have given somebody no hope. But when you don't have any hope naturally, there's some more hope supernaturally that you can go get. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. Then he says here in verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was yet about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, for he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, I want you to see, he didn't consider his own body. Because God said at 99 years old, you're going to have a baby. Well, he was beyond the years of his childbearing, so he couldn't have one. In his mind, in the natural, couldn't have it. Impossible. But God said, you're going to have a child. And then what happened? It says, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider those. He didn't consider his circumstances. He didn't consider his wallet. He didn't consider, come on, his education level. He didn't consider anything. When God promised him something, he didn't consider anything on the outside. Now, it says he staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Who promised it? Who's going to have to do it? What is impossible for God? I'm telling you right now that the reason why a lot of God's people haven't seen the manifestation of the blessing that God has for them is that they bring it down to the level where they try to figure out how God's going to do it or try to put it in their own hands and try to do it. But Abraham had the kind of faith that nothing around him validated the fact that this thing is true. The only thing he had to validate it was what God said. And you got that same peace in your lap right now of what God said, and whatever he said to you, he's faithful also to do it. God can bring to pass anything that he spoke into your life, and he can do it without sweat. Say amen to this. Now, in this, heirs of the world. So what kind of faith do we have to use? The God kind of faith. Same kind of faith, Abraham, God kind of faith. And remember what he said, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. And that God kind of faith says, whosoever shall say to this mountain, and then it says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you what? Receive them, and you shall have them. Now, I have to, inside of me again, is this tree. Now, I got to deal with this tree. Now, I know some of you wonder what I'm talking about, all right? Let's go over to it real quick. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 15. Amen. I'm talking about the same faith that Abraham had now. We got to have that same kind of faith if we're going to take rulership, if we're going to reign as kings, if we're going to reign in this earth and so forth. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 15. And look at verse 12. Then came that his disciples and said to him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be what? Rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And for blind lead the blind, both of them going to fall where? They're going to fall into the ditch. All right, let's just cover this because this is what we hit on last time. So inside everybody's a tree. And that tree that's inside of everybody is the image that you have of yourself or your circumstances or whatever. That's what the tree is. The tree is what you believe. You believe something. You believe according to what's in your heart, what's in your mind. And that's the way you've been taught. That's the way I've been taught. And so when you're talking about things of God, those trees in there usually are against the promises of God. In other words, It's designed to keep you from the truth. It's designed, the truth comes, and that tree is designed, Lord have mercy, to keep you or I in a place where we will resist the truth that comes. Lord have mercy. See, the enemy knows that what the world plants inside of you, or us, had planted, is designed to hold us in the world. You got what I'm saying? It's designed to hold us in the world. And when it was time for me to leave the company that I was working for and go full-time in ministry, we had started ministry, but God wanted me to go full-time now. Now, this is me. I'm not talking about you. Don't just sit up here and say, well, the Lord telling me to quit my job too. Pray to God. I'm going to quit my job. Do my thing. You're going to starve. You better hear God. You better wait till God says something to you. So now it's a tree inside of me. Because every time I'm trying to leave, I seem to bump up against this fence. And I said, well, I'm going to leave in 3 months. 3 months will come up, I'm going to leave in the next 3 months. And every time I head toward that fence, the voice starts, baby, need a new pair of shoes, light bill due, car note two, so forth and so on. Now, I'm hitting up against, are you following what I'm saying now? Okay. So I heard man preach on seed time and harvest. So I took a promise. Mark chapter 10, verse 29 and 30. No man that has left house, mother, father, sister, brother, land for my sake and the gospel, but he shall receive 100-fold, come on, now, in this time, houses, lands, and so forth and so on. And I took that and I began to say it. Now, what happened is that tree, Jesus said, every tree in you that the Father has not planted shall be, come on, root it up. If you keep following the Holy Ghost, his job is to root up every foul tree that's been planted in your life that's keeping you from your inheritance. And what I did, I began to meditate it how long? Day and night. Now, meditation brings revelation. And revelation with actualization brings manifestation. So once I got a revelation, all of a sudden it broke loose inside of me. And I was on the road in Minnesota, and I called my wife. I pulled over and said, baby, I'm leaving this company. Now, the company had been good to me, but that's one of the problems. Is that it's been too good because it wanted to keep me into a place. Now, the company didn't do this. This is me. This is the enemy because he knew that if I broke loose, that one day you're going to hear the gospel through my mouth. So, come on now. You got to hear what I'm saying. See? And so that is what I had to do. So I had to get that tree replaced inside by a tree that says, instead of leaving a job, I'm gonna sow a job. And you can't leave that unless you can see that. You follow what I just said? You can't see. Some folk have more pictures of their past than they do in their house of pictures of their future. You see, you can't look both ways. You got to put something up of where you're going, or else your memory gonna be bigger than your imagination. And when that happens, you then hang back and make all these, oh yeah, I remember back in 1929 when Mud did them. Well, that's fine. But God's got something for you to do today. And there are some things that God wants you to accomplish. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, I'm saying that was just for me. It was one example of me leaving because he had something for me to do. I'm saying you might be in your vocation or might be in your industry, and there's some things for you to do. I'm saying there's some breakthroughs that we have to have. But the enemy had planted trees in us that tree was not allowing us, that image was not allowing us to go any further. But this is a time of the breakthrough. This is time where every tree in you, if you keep coming in here, every tree in you that the Heavenly Father has not planted, God is going to root that thing out. I said he's going to root it out. Say amen to that. If you've been broke in your past, you'll never be broke another day in your life. Say amen to that. If you've been catching flu every time the flu season comes around, I got news for you. Your days of being flu bound are over. Now, don't get quiet on me. All right, I see now we got to say something. Say this. I'll never be broke. Another day in my life. Now say this. Now it's going to take some courage to say it. You ready? Yes. I'll never be sick. Another day in my life. Notice what Abraham had to do. He had to call things. Come on with me. He had to call things that be not as though they were. He had to say he's a father of a multitude, and he and Sarah had never had children, never could have children, but he went and heard God's word. He decided to believe God. Say amen to this. If God says wealth and riches shall be in your house, decide to believe God. Is somebody with me here? So, what we said is we're going to get rid of debt. And when I said that last time, folk got quiet. Come on now. Now, I'm not saying debt and to have debt is a sin. I said that that's not God's plan for your life. Say amen to this. And the reason why we go there is because the tree is there. But if I can get a word to root up that tree of debt and end up in Deuteronomy chapter 28, come on with me now. You're going to prosper whether you want to or not. You're going to get healed whether you want to or not. Because I'm going to stuff this word like bread down your mouth, and you're going to chew it up. That's what I'm talking about. You tell me what the word cannot do. There is nothing that the word of God cannot turn around. The only thing about it is people have minimized the word and maximized their problems. I'm telling you, turn that formula around. God can do the impossible. He is in his word. There is nothing he can't do. Plus the fact he's raising you up for another level. He doesn't see the world is getting problems, but they're getting problems now that they can't solve because you weren't made to solve your problems on the same level that they were created. You were made to solve them on another level. Come on. You see, you've got one level down here, which is a level of power of sound. And sound has power to it. You can break the sound barrier, or somebody can hit a high note, and it will actually break a glass. That's how much power sound has in it. But then you you go up to the light level, and light travels at 186,000 miles per second, but you get some light called laser, and you can actually do surgery with it, and you can go through steel with it. I'm saying light has some power. Then you go up to the power of the thinking, of the mind. There is some power in the mind, folks, and some folk have learned how to use it, but that's not the way you should go. You should go all the way up to spiritual power. And this is the kind of power that when Jesus spoke to a fig tree in less than 24. That's the power that's coming out of you. It's Holy Ghost power. It's anointing. It's the power of the living God. It's in you right now, resonating inside of you, looking for you to release it. Don't make me preach this here. Oh, I feel like going on. Somebody in here pulling. Hey. See, we got to stop struggling with things. Our days of struggling are over. See, you can't possess things that you can't. Your identity, your own identity, you got to adopt who God says you really are. See, he said that he plans for you to imitate him. Yes. That means you're supposed to talk like it. You're supposed to walk down the street talking like God. Or do you know what that sounds like? It sounds like David. This day shall the Lord deliver you into my hand. Watch it, watch it. And big guy, let me tell you this. See that army behind you? Of the air. Man, this is a 17-year-old boy. He said, think like him. Say amen to that. Walk like him. Walk by faith, not by sight. Don't let every little thing upset you. If you don't like the way it is, speak to it. Come on now. How many believers I got up in here? Amen. Sit down. Somebody pulling this afternoon. Because I was thinking about going home, but now I'm thinking about going on. Sit down. Let me finish this. Psalm 110, this is the day of God's power. This is the day that you're going to be generating so much power. I'm telling you, when them three Hebrews were threatened by the king, he said, listen, if you don't bow under my system, you're going to burn. They said, king, I know you think you know what you're talking about, but we serve the Almighty. Faith of Abraham. Now you start talking right and get that slave speech out of your mouth. Ain't nowhere in this Bible it says, I can't afford that. What does that mean? He just told you, you own it. Speak to it and tell it to come into your house. Y'all part of that name it and claim it, that blab it and grab it bunch. Yeah! And we're gonna grab your stuff if you don't. Sit down, let me finish. Y'all got me going off now. You are royalty. Decree a thing. Folks. It's got to be preached. Now, how will they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach unless he's been sent? Well, I got news for you. I've been sent. Just locate your sent one and get the word. And once you do, put a prophetic voice. That's it. I got a bunch of believers up in here now. I know what's going to happen. Whatever the devil stole, he's going to have to give it back. I said, whatever the devil stole, I want you to pursue, overtake, and recover. I know what I'm talking about. I said, pursue, overtake, and recover. Oh. Let me finish. See, the Holy Ghost is stirred up now. I said the Holy Ghost is stirring in the house now. Because this ain't about how much you can do. Of struggling. Woo! Woo! What Jesus came. He said, repent. See, repent. I used to think repent mean get a big old Bible and get out there on the street and say, repent, you sinner. But repent means change your thinking. It's time for a shift. I said, it's time for a shift. Where your money been going out, now it's about to come in. Let me finish. Sit down. Yeah! Did. Let me get one more script in, then we go. Yeah! Sit down, sit down. We got the clip. We got the clip. Now, I am not saying don't use your mind, but realize where we're going, the mind has never been, but your spirit has. Hey. Come on now. See, what you are experiencing is heaven invading the earth. That everything that's out of line is shifting. It's coming back in line. Are you following what I'm saying? Everything that's crooked, about to straighten up. Everything that's a lie is about to be made a truth. Everything that's broken, it's about to be fixed. This is a move of God, folks. I said, this is a move of God. Oh, yeah, there is going to be a sweep of purity in the land. Oh, yeah. No. No, the whole earth belongs to you. From the surface to the core. Now, how do we transfer it? By faith. You can't work for it, because that's not the law. The spiritual law is that you got to get it by faith. Now, when you're working your job, that's just your assignment. Your paycheck, that's just overflow. How can you work for something that you already own? Now, it takes some people a while to be able to process this, and that's okay. But I'm going to keep saying it until you get it. And I want you to start thinking bigger. Stop trying to pull it down to the level of your natural mind and put it up in the mind of Christ. Are you following what I'm saying? Did y'all get something out of this today? I just felt we were supposed to exhort the Lord. And what am I encouraging you to do now? Training for reigning. No. You are a new dynasty. A dynasty is a succession of kings. You are a royal family. And the one that only one that God will trust to train you is the Holy Ghost. And He is on me, speaking to you. You got what I'm saying? Folks, you can do much more than you think you can, because you're much bigger than you think you are. No. See, if we just keep this up, the anointing that fills this room will destroy yokes. Will remove burdens. Oh, yeah. I know we talked about getting out of debt in 3 years. I'm talking about getting out of debt 3 weeks. 3 days. Come on, don't say, wait, that's impossible. Whoa. See, that's your intellect again. I told you the highest level is the spiritual. That's where you get out of debt in 24 hours. There's things happening at that level that you cannot even explain. Are you following what I'm saying? You're going to be the new problem solvers. Because the answer was in you before the problem ever came. God has raised you up for such a time as this. Give the Lord a praise and thank Him for it. Hey! Yeah! Come on, let's just give Him a praise. Oh, we praise You, Lord. We worship You, Lord. We bless You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Glory to God.
And we declare that nothing is impossible, because God is with us and His Spirit is in us. So we take ownership of what God has already granted, and we say that we'll go.
Is a prophetic word. Take your seats for just a moment, please. You're here not by coincidence, but by the plan of God. And in your life, you're not right with God.